Hi, once again, everybody. I'm Sean Wood. Welcome to a special edition of the Sprint Car Show here on the DirtTrackChannel.com. Well, on Wednesday afternoon, it was announced that Danny Lasoski will be the driver for the Big Game Motorsports number 2 410 Sprint Car for the 2015 season. Here to tell us all about that is the dude himself, Danny Lasoski. Danny, it's always a pleasure. Welcome back to the show.
Sean, thank you very much for having us. It's a true pleasure for me, and thanks again for having us on.
Well, congratulations on getting this right. Can you tell us a little bit about how everything came together, and what were your feelings after you guys had wrapped up just your little three-race stint back here just a few weeks ago?
Well, first thing I want to do is thank Todd Corrin for giving me the opportunity to race for him this year. I got a phone call from Guy Forbrook right before the Annihilate Renegade race was in Ohio, and he said, hey, I don't know what I'm doing next year. He said, but I would love for you to take an opportunity. And he said, things changed in the Big Game camp with Craig leaving. He said, I told Todd that I want you to be my driver, and that was just a huge honor, and I thank Guy Forbrook for still believing in me. And I said, absolutely. So we put a two-race deal together at Ohio, and then we went to Charlotte. And prior to Charlotte, Todd Queering called me, and he said, I'd like for you to be our driver for next year. And we'll run Charlotte, and then we'll sit down and talk. And yesterday, we sat down and talked and worked out a program, and I'm the Big Game number 2 driver for next year, and couldn't be any happier.
I was going to say, I mean, I know you're a very excited person. You're a very passionate person, but you sound like you have a little extra giddy-up in your step there.
Well, I don't know how it sounds, but I know how I feel. I'm 55 years old, and I feel 25, and I'm just ready to get after this thing. It's been so long that I've been behind a car and that has the backing that Todd does to make sure he has everything he needs to win, and having Guy Forbrook running him, because the last 4 or 5 years, we've basically, Todd Creason and myself have been on my own car. It's been really tough, and just really excited to get started this year and running the NFL Series in Knoxville, and we're going to be starting in Yuma and then going to Florida. So we're going to get some racing in before the Midwest starts. Just very, very pumped up and very excited, and try to win us another championship at Knoxville, which would be 10, and another Knoxville Nationals would be 5, and that would be fantastic if we could do that.
Danny, before this whole situation came about, what were your plans and what were you thinking about going into the 2015 season?
Well, actually, I didn't have any plans. You know, running a sprint car team out of your pocket is really tough in today's timing, because to compete with even in the Midwest, you can't even compete on a local level, because just like my nephew's team, his team is a World of Outlaw caliber team, and it's hard to compete with that, you know, running on a budget. So we really didn't know which way we were going to turn, and then when Guy Forbrook called, everything changed.
And it was not that long ago that I saw an interview you did on the Knoxville's Dirt Dreams on MAV TV, and you made a very interesting statement that you thought this year, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but you thought this year Knoxville on a weekly basis was more competitive than what it was here in central Pennsylvania. And I'm just curious as to, from your standards, what did you use to base that statement on?
Well, in years past at Knoxville, to be honest with you, there was basically 2 to 3 guys that you knew that it was going to be a challenge each and every night and for the championship. This year, there was 10. And that's and I looked at the competition level of Central Pennsylvania, which is always tough. And this year, it didn't look not maybe as tough as it has been in years past, because, you know, when you have Fast Freddy and all these guys racing, the competition level was up there, and he wasn't there this year. And Knoxville just stepped it up. You had Craig Delansky, and you had Ian Mattson and Brian Brown, Justin Hish, all these guys, and Terry McCraw racing for the championship, and it was very, very, very tough weekly show there.
And, of course, Knoxville might be one of the few tracks, if the only track in the country, that runs the 305s, the 360s, and the 410s. And we've seen so much lately with the 305s, even here in central Pennsylvania. Do you believe that with the 305s, is there enough incentive going around the country that we'll see drivers eventually wanting to move up from that division to go and run 360s and run 410, whether it's at a weekly track like Knoxville or, as we'll talk about in a moment, the National Sprint League?
Well, I really do. I really think that the 305 is a stepping stone. You know, before it was like a 360, and that was all you had, but these guys, that can come in on a lower deal to make sure that's what they want to do, and then they can rebound to a 360 and ride to 410. And Knoxville offers all that, and I think that's just incredible for Knoxville Raceway to give to the younger drivers that want to come up in a sport that maybe necessarily doesn't have the budget to go get a good 410. And because if you get your teeth kicked in you a couple times, it puts a sour taste in your mouth that you may not want to come back.
And given the current state that we have right now in sprint car racing, now with the new National Sprint League, you have the Renegades that are coming up in Eastern Ohio to run against the All-Stars. You have the All-Stars, you have the World of Outlaws, ASCS. You have the 360 groups here on the East Coast with the Patriots, the Empire Super Sprints, the United Racing Company, now United Racing Club trying to come along. Are we oversaturating the market, or is there still enough to go around for some time yet before all the cards are fully laid out on the table and we see what shakes out in the next few years for sprint car racing on a whole here in the country?
Well, I don't think it's saturated, not at all. I mean, the Midwest was starving. I'm talking starving for 410 racing. But in the big scheme of things, what we all got to put in perspective is I am first and foremost a fan of sprint car racing, and we got to make sure that our fans are taken care of to come and watch. It doesn't matter if they come watch a 410 NSL race or ASCS 360 race or whatever it may be, as long as we can get the younger generation, just like I was when I started. I couldn't wait to get out of school and come to racing, and that's what I want to see again. No matter what racing is, sprint car racing is very healthy in this country, and we just got to keep supporting it to make it sustain that.
What do we have to do, Danny? What are some of the things you would suggest to the people who are running the different organizations to attract the younger fans and to keep them coming back on a regular basis?
Well, Knoxville's doing a, you know, if you look at, you know, I keep going back to Knoxville, but Knoxville's doing a great job of that. You know, Brian Stickles having, like, kids night, having, because as we all know, I have children. And if you got your kids saying, Dad, I want to come to the races, that's where you're going to go spend your money. Because each family has X amount of money to spend on entertainment. And if we can get those kids interested in racing, they're going to take their kids and their kids after that. And I think that's very, very important.
One of the things I've talked about and I've written about is the fact that we have lost the opportunity now with the later opening gate times, it seems like, around the country. We don't have those driver autograph sessions before the races, and we don't have cars being put on display. I think that's something that we need to look into, and I don't see where it would hurt a promoter to take a few dollars out of his pocket and say thank you to a driver and pay his way in for the night. Do you think something like that, in terms of getting out there and being able to do driver appearances on the night of, would be beneficial to try to generate some younger kids coming into not only the sport, but to come in and see racing in as a whole?
Absolutely. I think just about every idea you just said would be a great idea. But again, we've got to get the younger generation interested, and they are. It is healthy in Knoxville, and I've seen it more and more around the country, that when we get done racing, the more the little guys come up and want your autograph. To me, that is priceless.
What was your inspiration when you were a kid? Who were some of the drivers that inspired you to remember what that feeling was like and to be able to give it back to the current generation so that at some point they can give it to the generation that's yet to come?
Well, I was very lucky. My father raced, and I got to go through the Midwest with him. He didn't do it for a living. He worked at General Motors at a car plant and didn't race on the weekend. And then my Uncle Tom Corbin raced more, and I got to go with him. So I was very fortunate to be able to go to a lot of races at a young age and see it from the ground up and being involved with it. But and then also added to that, and along came my nephew. And my nephew was attached to my hip from day one. Whenever he was able to come to the races, he traveled with me all over the country. And if you ask him, that was a big impact on his life to be able to see it from the inside out. And I think along the route, that's why he's so instrumental in making sure all the young people like it as well.
Let's talk a little bit about your team just for a second. Guy Forbrook, this is something you guys had great success teaming up together in the past. What is it about Guy and yourself that has allowed you to have such great chemistry, and how do you see that chemistry getting better and stronger, not only in 2015, but even in the years to come?
Guy and I know each other like the back of our hand. He knows my good traits and my bad traits. And, you know, back in the day when Guy and I first started, we were two hard-headed young guys striving to be the best, and that's probably why we fought like brothers, but we fought and raced really well, so it was hand in hand. We both are a little older and a little wiser now, and we both look at each other and laugh about it back in the day. Right now, we both have the same goal. That's to go out and do the very best job we can, win races, and win the chance of winning Knoxville Nationals for Todd Quarring. And he's focused as well, because now he has a son, Brady, that's coming up, and he's young, and he sees the racing from the inside out, and trying to mold him one day to be a great sprint car racer.
And speaking of Todd, of course, the National Sprint League is getting a lot of traction lately, announcing its schedule and a bunch of other things that are happening. Your overall thoughts as to why at this particular time this is the best thing for the 410 racing in the Midwest, and how will this complement everything that's now going on in Knoxville, but all the different traveling series that seems to cross the heartland of this country?
Well, I think it's what Todd has done has been fantastic. You know, he's been a World Outlaw car owner. He's seen cars travel across the country and see what's good and bad about being promoting. Now, with as busy as his business is, he's putting his hard-earned money in a series that's going to be in the Midwest, where basically all we had was Knoxville. We didn't really have a 410 program, and he's not going to buck heads with Knoxville. He's working hand-in-hand with Knoxville. So that gives the Knoxville racer that's been there a kind of a central Pennsylvania kind of outlook, where we can run two or three nights a week in the middle of summer.
And what is your take on what we've seen in sort of a changing landscape these days, where a lot of drivers may not be looking to run for a full point schedule, but they're looking to more run they're looking to run more of a quote-unquote outlaw type schedule. Are the days of guys focused on winning a track championship something of the glory days, or are they still out there?
No, I think you'll see that come back, because like Todd has put together a $350,000 point fund to have the initiative for guys to follow. And I don't think the initiative has been there in the past that if the point fund wasn't there, it didn't get paid, or whatever the circumstances were, this is a true sprint league that he's put together for the Midwest that maybe not a full-time outlaw guy, a local guy can make a decent living and have a point fund at the end of the year to show his efforts.
So, Danny, as this off-season comes up, what's the plans to do any off-season racing, and what are you guys looking forward to the most about 2015?
Well, there's really going to be an off-season. You know, we got basically 1 month before we got to get ready to go here, the month of December. And then we got to be in Yuma, Arizona on the second day of January and start racing. And couldn't be more excited. I'm really pumped to be with Guy and Pete and Tony. They've got two great crew guys that are in it. Everybody's in for the same focus, and that's to win.
Well, Danny, as always, we greatly appreciate your time, and thank you for taking time out of your day to stop by here and chat with us about your new adventure. And all the best of luck to you and Guy Forbrook and the rest of the Big Game Motorsports team here in 2015.
Thank you very much, and go Big Game. Thank you much.
Sure thing. Danny Lasoski joining us here on this special edition of the Sprint Car Show, brought to you by the great folks at Coastal181.com. Reading for racers. Thanks for listening, everybody. I'm Sean Wood.